on my holster low across my hips, with two Colt 45s with white plastic grips. And I'd head west through our neighborhood, and they'd say, here comes young Billy, and he's up to no good. Yeah. I rode a trail through the neighbor's backyard, shooting the bad guys through my handlebars. Known for my...
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Aflac has been hacked.
Aflac says it's not just them. It says this hack attack is affecting other insurance companies as well and was caused by a sophisticated cybercrime group. Aflac says it immediately initiated cyber incidents response protocols and stopped the intrusion, but they're unable to determine the total number of customers or what might have been accessed. The affected files contain claims information, health information, and social security numbers. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
It's offering customers free credit monitoring and identity theft protection. Long Island, New York High School is seeing several sets of double trouble among the nearly 500 students in its graduating class. 30 are twins. This is not unusual at Plainview Old Bethpage John F. Kennedy High School. School officials say the high school had back-to-back graduating classes with 10 sets of multiples in 2014 and 2015. Next year's incoming freshman class has 9 sets of twins. This is ABC News. The blockbuster movie Jaws is celebrating its half-century birthday today.
Before Jaws splashed into theaters 50 years ago, raking in hundreds of millions of dollars through several re-releases and setting the template for the modern blockbuster, it was a book. The 1974 novel, written by Peter Benchley, was a financial success all on its own ahead of the movie adaptation the following year, which Benchley himself makes a cameo in.
A cloud in the shape of a killer shark.
Later, Benchley advocated for ocean conservation and stressed sharks important place in the marine ecosystem before his death in 2006. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Jaws held the highest-grossing film record for just 2 years until Star Wars premiered in 1977. Peak sunshine has arrived in the northern hemisphere, the summer solstice. Friday, the longest day of the year north of the equator, where the solstice marks the start of the astronomical summer. It's the opposite in the southern hemisphere, where it's the shortest day of the year and winter starts. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot with up to 40% off, plus up to an extra $600 off select appliances with free delivery like GE Profile. Simplify your routine with GE Profile appliances, from refrigerators with autofill pitchers and multiple dispensing options to all-in-one washer-dryer combos that can wash and dry a full load in under 2 hours. Shop 4th of July savings on top-brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid June 18th through July 9th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Hey, Green Gobbler here. So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it'd go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Gobbler, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Gobbler. Let the gobbler get it.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. At the Capitol, it's unclear who's in the driver's seat on the state budget. Wednesday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said there's been progress with the governor's office.
We're always open to seeing if there are areas that we could find some kind of, you know, veto assurances on.
But Senate Republicans Steve Noss and Chris Kapanke opposed the process. Democratic Joint Finance Committee member Senator Kel DeRoyce says Majority Leader Devin Lemieux needs to pick up the phone.
To decide that he is not willing to risk his majority and his more vulnerable members to kowtow to the most extreme voices that have clearly said that they're actually not interested in a budget.
The Joint Finance Committee canceled its session scheduled for Thursday. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to delay the Trump administration's big, beautiful bill.
Johnson is going against fellow Republicans on the budget vote and released a report showing the House-passed budget reconciliation bill would put the U.S. into a massive deficit of $24 trillion over the next 10 years. Johnson is also pushing back against President Trump's claims that Republicans who oppose the budget would be, quote, finished in politics. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Details of a twisted tale of revenge unveiled as a woman tied to hazmat probes in Madison this week appeared in court.
Prosecutors accused 41-year-old Andrea Whitaker of helping her boyfriend, 43-year-old Paul Van Dyne, in his plot to poison his former love interest with cyanide. Whitaker was charged in Dane County Court Wednesday with harboring and aiding a felon. One of the victims had to be hospitalized after drinking the tainted water. During the hazmat operations at three different Madison locations, seven state agents had to be hospitalized due to exposure to chemicals. Van Dyne is scheduled to be in Dane County Court Friday on attempted murder and stalking charges. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Happy first day of summer. Under mixed skies, highs will soar to the mid-80s, which is quite comfortable compared to the extreme heat warning that goes into effect for the entire weekend. But before we get to that, showers and storms are possible late tonight and overnight. Some could be strong. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 79.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Turned up the thermometer going into the weekend for the Northeast and the Central U.S. While there are some severe thunderstorms in the Northern Plains, John Newton of Terrain and D.C. policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer brewing up a storm of their own, coming in hot with takes and strong opinions for the free-for-all.
Live from the beginning of the end of this work week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelist policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, and we welcome John Newton from Terrain. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, our fearless friend, the captain of cordiality, the Alberta Breeze from Real Ag Radio, please welcome Sean Haney.
Hey, great to be with you here today, everybody. Davis, cordiality. I can't even say that word. That's a big word, man.
Cordiality.
I may have to look that up during the commercial break. Hey, welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm your host, Sean Haney of RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. You know, so pleased to be filling in for Chip Flory here today. And honestly, can't wait to see some of the pictures and hear some of those. Of all my friends, Davis, I don't know. I would vote Chip Flory the most likely to tell the biggest fish stories.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, he goes off grid, like places where you can't follow him. Yeah. And that, you know, like, we would never know. He could tell us anything. Like he was using, you know, grizzly bears for bait.
Yes.
I can't dispute it, you know. I think you're onto something.
I do think so. You know, it's hard to believe today's the first day of summer.
Yeah, finally.
Which means, but regretfully, it's kind of a bummer that days start getting shorter from here. That kind of sucks.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
I know. I don't mean to damper the mood here a little bit. But you know, it's interesting that we're just kind of getting into, for some people, what feels more like summer weather. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably got some of it in the news, but like it seems like it's kind of feast or famine here right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a little frustrated here in KC with my garden. The growing conditions have been terrible, and I know it's a little bit trite and stupid, but I can't get my tomatoes to grow. My rhubarb is about done, like just giving up. It's been tough to grow a garden here in Kansas City, I can tell you that for sure.
Well, we do know the corn crop is off to a pretty good start. Yep. You know, I was leading into the show here, I was looking at that USDA crop progress report from earlier this week, and we got 93% planted and 69% of the crop rate is good to excellent. And I looked at some of those historic 5-year, like where it's been the last 5 years. The trajectory of that progress is different this year, where it kind of rolls over a little bit. This year it's like shooting up to the right, which obviously we're going to need some Mother Nature to cooperate during the pollination period. But it is kind of fascinating, the start it's off to.
You bet. You bet. I'm curious to see what happens once Pro Farmer gets out there into the fields in August. That I'm actually looking forward to crop tour this year, to be honest.
I'm hoping to maybe be there the beginning of it. I've never been on it. I can't be there for the whole week, but I'm hoping to maybe check in a couple days.
You know, I knock on wood. I've never gone out. I should probably go out and at least be at one meeting sometime. But I've always been the guy who's like, okay, in case we lose the signal, we need somebody back at the studio. I'm the studio guy for that deal.
The old standby.
Yeah, I will.
We could rookie it together. It could be Haney and Michelson out for
Yeah.
Think of the dangers there. Hey, before we get to the news, probably the biggest news that you don't probably have it in your list.
Yeah.
There's a new Spaceballs movie going to be made.
And you know,
I couldn't be more excited.
You know, the Schwartz, I don't know if it's that the Schwartz power has worn off a little bit. Is the Schwartz still with us, or do we need like another shot of the Schwartz? I could use it myself. I don't know.
Yeah, and does Mel Brooks's comedy play in today's age? That's another question.
Yeah,
I saw an interview where he said, you know, we wanted to do what the fans want. We heard the fans, and so we did the opposite. We're making another movie, and so it's actually going to bring Rick Moranis out of retirement.
Yeah.
Like he said, he's never acting again after his wife passed away. He's going to take care of his kids. It's apparently he's coming back as Captain Dark Helmet.
Yeah, yeah. That's super cool. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Very cool. Okay, let's get to the news.
Sure thing. The National Weather Service is looking for severe thunderstorms, likely, in fact, today across the northern plains into the upper Mississippi Valley. Gusty winds, dry conditions will result in widespread critical fire weather through Saturday across parts of the Four Corners region and the Great Basin. A significant and dangerous heat wave will expand from the central U.S. into the eastern U.S. this weekend through much of next week. That's from the National Weather Service. I'm going to go over to World Weather Inc., who says a powerful heat dome is forecast to push temperatures to record highs across the central and eastern U.S. this weekend into early next week. The NWS issued a level 3 out of 4 heat risk for impacted areas. World Weather Inc. says, quote, the heat wave will seriously stress crops in the driest areas from western Iowa, central and eastern Nebraska, and portions of the northwestern plains across eastern Iowa to northern Illinois. Rains are likely to follow that heat wave. Currently already 85 degrees Fahrenheit here in Kansas City, and we're headed for 90-something over the weekend. For sure.
Well, I saw D.C. is supposed to feel like 115 here this weekend. Wiesmeyer is going to be a sweaty mess.
Well, wheat futures pulled back from Wednesday's price surge during overnight trade, while corn and soybeans have firmed early this morning. The U.S. dollar index was more than 200 points lower. Front month crude around 90 cents higher ahead of the open. And looking to these markets now, it looks like we're on either side of unchanged by just fractions of a penny here in the corn market. Soybeans, just a cent, maybe cent and a half higher. The wheat's about the same deal there, a penny higher. But the cattle market continues to surge higher. Haney, I mean, the August live cattle contract up $1.80 already today. Crazy stuff going on there.
Yeah, well, and maybe with some a little bit of bearish, you know, like where this corn yield shakes out, and we're going to have a lot of supply. Probably that's leading for some optimism for some of those cattle feeders.
Well, here's a cool story. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced Wednesday that USDA would be reestablishing a New World screwworm sterile fly facility at Moore Air Base in South Texas. That's to protect the United States from the spread of the pest from Mexico. This facility was used in the 1960s to help eradicate a screwworm infestation that threatened the U.S. livestock industry. At that time, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and other cattle industry groups lauded the plan, going to use more air base to make sterile flies.
Yeah, NCBA showing support, too, for that plan. I think you had Ethan Lane on the show yesterday.
We did, yep. Canadian bill C-202 amends Canada's Foreign Affairs Act, making it illegal for government ministers to reduce tariffs or increase import quotas on dairy, eggs, and poultry in future trade negotiations. Ministers cannot increase tariff rate quotas for those products and cannot lower tariffs on imports above TRQ levels. However, experts and representatives from export-reliant sectors like beef and grain have raised concerns. I imagine we'll talk about this in a bit, yeah?
Definitely will. I know Wiesmeyer's fired up about it. He's got some hot takes.
Well, I got one more Canadian story here, and then we'll go. Additionally, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney announced new measures to restrict foreign steel imports, aiming to support Canada's largest steel producers, who are struggling with the impact of President Donald Trump's decision to double tariffs on steel imports to 50%. Sean, a couple of stories on the Canadian side there. We're sure glad to have you along today in Chip's absence. I just want to say from the top, thanks for taking the time, brother. It's all yours. It's all yours.
Bye. Appreciate the opportunity. We got a great show lined up here for today. I've got thoughts on those two Canadian stories. We're gonna start off though with what's going on with Iran, Israel, and President Trump's decision to wait 2 weeks. We've got more coming up here on Agri Talk right after this quick break.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What? Discover all the ways to enjoy the wholesome products that start with the goodness of milk. For breakfast, try some cottage cheese topped with fruit. Or a big helping of yogurt in your favorite flavor. Dairy products not only taste good, but they're good for you. They supply protein to help get your day off to a great start.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute is brought to you by Conroe Sales and Service, your Bobcat and Gravely dealer, Durand and Whitehall.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comroe Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.61% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, filling in today for Chip Flory. It is Sean Haney of Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio. It's great to be with you as we head into this first day of summer, as Dave and I were talking about. Let's get started with the free-for-all. Up first, joining Davis and I today is, of course, Jim Wiesmeyer, DC Policy Analyst. Hey, Jim, how are we doing?
Here at it. You said it's going to get hot. That's about the only thing in Washington because our Nationals are not hot. They lost 10 in a row.
You know, and they were doing like surprisingly well, and this has been a very cold streak, Jim.
Yes, ever since they got three games below 500, and I started watching them again, and then that's when they started losing.
Wiesmeyer gets back on the bandwagon, and it's derailed. It's just derailed. Also joining us here today is John Newton, executive head at Terrain. Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It is going to get hot in D.C., and unlike Jim, I was pretty ecstatic that my Louisville Cardinals made it all the way to Omaha. I wish they could have beaten College of Charleston, but they had a heck of a run. So I was real excited last week.
Yeah. How heartbreaking do the fans of Arkansas feel when they could have turned that double play in a game against LSU, and then the ball goes off the outfield, there's glove, and what a train wreck in that ninth inning. Heartbreak for the Razorback fans. Too bad. But we got a great final, though.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. College World Series, that's one of my to-do things. I would love to I'm setting up camp 10 days in Omaha and doing nothing but college baseball. It'd be a great trip. I'd love to do that. Let's get to it. Jim, what do you make of President Trump saying hasn't made a decision yet on what to do with Iran and basically providing military backing, and he's going to take 2 weeks to do it? Figure of speech, or is he actually taking the 2 weeks?
You're cutting out. I hope I'm not going.
Oh, we got a bad connection with Jim. John, how did you take that 2 week comment the president made in terms of I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but we'll know in 2 weeks.
I mean, I think it's an opportunity. Right, Jim.
John, go ahead.
John, you go ahead.
Okay, sorry, John, go ahead.
This is Jim calling in from a flip phone, so these kind of things happen, I guess. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
No, I mean, I think, again, as Jim's about to say, I think it's the right approach. You know, it gives the president time to try to negotiate an outcome that I think most people want, and that is some sort of resolution to this conflict. I don't think people want to see this escalate even more, dragging, you know, God forbid, you know, boots on the ground, U.S. troops on the ground. So I think this 2 weeks is a good opportunity to say, hey, let's dial down the temperature a little bit. There's an opportunity to really, you know, change the dynamic in the Middle East if we can get peace in that region. I think that's what he's looking for.
Jim, what's the relationship here between Trump and Netanyahu? Because, like, Trump asked him not to do this because they were going to have, you know, they were working on a deal. They did anyway. And now he's being kind of forced into this conflict, or, you know, potentially, you know, with actual troops. How do you take that relationship? What do you think's happening behind the scenes?
Hey, we're getting Jim back right now.
Oh, we're working on Jim. Davis, you got some thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and I guess I would just add in to make sure that we've got enough Trumpian confusion going on here. I was thinking that he had said, I'll decide within the next 2 weeks, rather than like in 2 weeks, here's this date, we're going to have a decision on this date. Didn't he kind of leave it open in the meantime? People have been critical that he keeps changing his mind, changing his strategy. We're going to, you know, we're not going to search farms. We're going to search farms, all of this sort of stuff. Maybe the strategy here from Trump is just to keep everybody off balance. Sometime in the next 2 weeks, I'll come up with some sort of decision. Maybe I heard it wrong, but I feel like it's part of the strategy.
Yeah, so I had heard a commentator yesterday say that he uses frequently this 2 weeks as like, it's almost like a figure of speech. It's we're working on it. Like, it's in motion, right. And we're dealing with it. It's definitely, John, one of the perceptions that I have is that this is an issue that really will create some, I'm not going to say splits in the Republican Party, but the MAGA movement has been about, you know, trying to stay out of these foreign wars, and here he's in the middle of it. There's going to be some internal discussions that I would imagine be pretty heated between the Tom Cottons of the world versus like the Thomas Massies of the world.
Absolutely. I mean, if you pay attention to social media at all, you can see, you know, signs of disagreement in the MAGA movement. Some of it, you know, quite frankly, Sean, might be, you know, crafted by the opposition to make it appear as though
Fair.
There are large cracks in the MAGA movement. When I get on X anymore, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's real, what's not real. There's so much misinformation that's floating out on the internet. But, you know, going back to this whole 2-week thing, whether it's the ag labor issue, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, you know, Israel, Iran, I think what's happening is that there are a lot of people providing insight and advice to the president. And, you know, he's weighing all of this information that he's getting. And sometimes that means he's changing midstream. You know, when you talk about deporting, you know, and going on farms and deporting ag workers, he maybe hears from farmers how devastating that would be and then changes midstream to say, we're only going to go after the criminals. I don't think it's necessarily flipping and flopping. It's that there's new information that's being considered and, you know, trying to do things as delicately as possible. And I think that applies to a lot of things that he does. And I've known a lot of people that have been in the Trump orbit, worked in the Trump orbit. And everyone I've talked to, they always talk about how intentional and deliberate his final decisions ultimately are.
Jim, well, one does wonder, too, given the quick pause here, and we'll get to Jim here in a second. But, you know, one wonders if he's thinking, gosh, Israel's moving so fast on this. Maybe they finish the job in 2 weeks and, you know, we come in on the backside of that and never have to fire a shot.
Well, I think that's possible. It's a kind of a stall tactic, like, you know, you do that sometimes when maybe your spouse is saying, we need to do this. Just, you know, let's just see, and like it shakes out. Hopefully the variables work in your favor. You don't got to deal with it. I'm talking for a friend there. Jim, what about this whole issue about immigration? We had ICE showing up at the Dodgers parking lot yesterday, which was a strange occurrence, but last week was weekend was a little bit confusing. Trump, we talked about it on the show. Trump was changing his you know, how they were going to approach these raids on farms and processing plants. And then Rollins puts out some very, very confusing messaging. I think it was on Sunday. What's the update on that?
Well, I think Rollins made a mistake. I think she did more awkwardness on this issue. That's a rare mistake by her. But Trump was getting heat over the deportations, even of illegal aliens who committed criminal acts by some parties. But so the White House initially paused their removal in the ag sector before ordering roundups again at farms, hotels, and packing plants to resume. I don't think there's any way to say this wasn't a flip-flop. It was. And so they're back to giving the signal that if you're here illegally, you're in that camp. Now, they're going to emphasize those areas of which there were truly people who committed criminal acts. But it was awkward, to say the least. So, you know, I didn't like it because it was I fielded a lot of emails from, you know, farmers in the ag sector. I do want to add quickly on Trump, on the Iran. It is within 2 weeks, and I don't think he should rush to judgment, in my personal, you know, judgment. And Israel is doing the job, and I think Trump wants to see more of those Iranian missile fire shots out of the way. So if we did have to do things, that would be an increased opportunity to go in there. But I think the key reason is they want to see if the Iranian people actually rise up like they did a few years ago for a potential regime change. He won't say that, but I think that's another reason to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think there's been some purposeful floating of that, you know, putting those ideas out there to, you know, if it happened, that would be better than, you know, maybe some of the alternative strategies. John, I see you nodding.
No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's on this immigration topic, what we're going to do is after the break, I want to get into, okay, there's the raid side of it, but what about making actual legislative changes that applies to the H-2A program? Because I hear from a lot of groups all over the place that this is a major issue that needs to be dealt with. We can't do one without dealing with the other. And
yes,
Jim, do you think that's on the table?
Absolutely. Congress, do your job. And even H-2A.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. At Central Life Sciences, we believe in making every kernel count. Our Gravista and Diacon IGR family of products are proven solutions for post-harvest insect control, providing lasting protection as grain is being loaded into storage. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn how you can make every kernel count.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Corteva Agriscience has launched a pioneer-specific biologicals offering called Nexta. Yield potential is highest before the seed goes into the ground, and Nexta solutions protect and preserve this yield potential season-long with the start-grow-finish approach. Using Nexta solutions, farmers can stress less and yield more. Learn more about how Nexta solutions can increase your crop yield. Call Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer dealer serving Durand. Visit them online at BauerSeedsAndService.com.
Milk markets are low. URDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 13 to 17.55. August down 13 to 18.07. September down 12 to 18.47. October down 8 at 18.71. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets as some continued buying in the markets due to strength in box beef prices and strength in the cash markets continue to help support live and feeder cattle markets. Hog markets mostly lower. We have some lower pork cutout values today, so we have a little bit of profit taking happening in the hog markets. June live cattle up $1.22 to $225.52. August feeder cattle up $2.57 to $306.75. July hogs down 22 cents to $111.95. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all relatively flat to slightly higher. There's just a small bounce in some of the contracts today. The weather is somewhat mixed. Temperatures will heat up over the next 3 to 5 days, but forecast models do call for cooler temperatures and better rain chances at some point next week. July corn down 3/4 to 432 and 3/4. New crop up 3/4 to 444 and 3/4. July beans up 1/4 to 1075. New crop steady at 1068 and 1/4. July wheat up 2 3/4 to 577. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
You know, we talk about a lot of controversial things here on AgriTalk, but a big debate, Davis, is Brian Johnson or Bon Scott as the lead singer of AC/DC.
I guess I'd probably have to go Bon Scott. The classic, you know? Yeah.
Little jailbreak. You like going back?
And if I'm being honest, I'm not a big AC/DC fan. Apparently, they call it Akadaka in country. I know that. But,
really?
Conan O'Brien taught me that.
Nice stuff.
Hey, I like back Conan to better Talk. Than AC/DC. How's that?
There you go. Welcome back to Anchor Talk, everybody. Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, joined here on the Free For All by Jim Wiesmeyer, DC policy analyst, and also executive head of Terrain, John Newton. Okay, Jim, let's continue with the immigration talk. H-2A reform. Is there desire to make some changes to fix some of these challenges?
Absolutely. They have to get through this reconciliation battle in the House and Senate first. But the H-2A program has to be changed legislatively because the current program allows ag to bring foreign workers in for temporary and seasonal jobs, but it excludes the most year-round operations and permanent jobs. And that leaves dairy, poultry, hog, beef, farming operations unable to access that labor pool. So it requires legislative changes to the program. Congress, do your job. And number two, I will tell you that the Trump administration has more than signaled to me that some executive changes are coming, but not the ones that Congress has to do. So we will hear news about this over the next few months.
John, is there other challenges with H-2A besides the 6 month? Because I know fruit and vegetable has some of the same gripes with the 6 month limitation. Are there other changes that should be considered in your mind?
Well, I mean, you talk to any farmer, one of the things that they complain about is just the unpredictability of the wage rates within the H-2A program. They're based off of the DAS Ag Labor Survey. They recently changed the rules to have different wage rates based on the occupation that the worker or the job type that the worker's doing on the farm. And these wage rates have absolutely blown through the roof in terms of how fast they've increased, the unpredictable nature of their increase. And then, Sean, I mean, they've outpassed wage growth across the broader U.S. economy. So not only do you have the seasonal challenges, you don't know what you're going to have to pay your workers next year. And that's how unpredictable that H-2A program is. So they definitely need to fix it.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is the transition, right? So if there are, you know, for operations where, you know, there is identification that, hey, there is, you know, illegal farm workers, how do you transition them to being in a reformed system? That's where probably, I imagine, Jim, members of Congress would have differing opinions. Some would say just, you know, flick a switch and make it happen, and others would say, no, you got to leave the country and come back because we don't want this to look like amnesty. So, Jim, that's where rubber kind of hits the road in the details.
Yes, and that's where Trump has previously signaled that leave and come back was going to be his preferred approach. We'll see if he sticks with that.
Yeah. This week, Davis had in the news, Secretary Rollins had, I think it was a 5-point plan as it applies to New World Screwworm. Jim, I guess NCBA appreciated or supported the Texas facility. Was there anything else in that 5-point plan that stuck out to you?
Well, no, that's the big one. It should have been done, you know, some time ago, even before Rollins came in, because of the potential of that. Because if it gets, it's getting closer and closer into the U.S., and then we've got a major, major problem. And it's going to take time for that allocation. What was it? $21 million to retrofit that facility. I just hope with bated breath that it doesn't happen in the United States. So I think that was the big one. You have to get those sterile flies back in to the U.S. area rather than from, where was it, Panama?
Yeah. John, I'm sure you've looked at some of the economic costs here or potential costs if this does work its way to the United States and the impact on the cattle sector. I couldn't imagine what some of the impact could be here.
I really can't imagine what the impact would be here either. And you know, I was just at the U.S. MEF conference a few weeks ago. I was down in Texas this week, and folks are absolutely concerned that, you know, what could potentially happen if this comes here. And just to demonstrate, you know, what could happen, a few weeks ago, someone leaked online a report that there was confirmed case of New World Screwworm in Missouri, I believe. And cattle futures dipped pretty sharply based on a false rumor. So I can't imagine what it would look like if something really happened. And that's why these efforts to keep it in southern Mexico are so important. You know, we've crunched some of the numbers. I think we import about 1 million head of yep. you know, feeder cattle from Mexico a year. I think it's about 2% of our annual slaughter. So that's not the major concern. It's if this hits the United States, what's the economic fallout, especially at a time when cattle prices are really what's supporting the farm economy?
Oh, no kidding. You know, it just every week we do interviews and talk to people on the beef analyst side, and it's just like people are just done calling the top. Right. Like, it's just like, yeah, it feels like this is kind of where we stop out, and it just keeps on trucking. And Jim, I guess that gets into some of the overall conversation about the economy. We had the Fed provide, you know, hold on rates this week. Was there anything in what Chairman Powell said that stuck out to you?
Well, I think when he was asked the question, why didn't you cut rates when Biden was president, and your numbers, at least short term here, clearly signal that you should be cutting rates. And then he answered that question by saying, well, it's not the current situation. It's what we see into the future. Then he got into the tariffs. But I just think they're overestimating the impacts of the negative impacts of these tariffs. We had news overnight that Japan's auto sector is swallowing, as President Trump says, eating those tariff increases. So, but I think the Fed is locked in, and it could be September at the earliest, if not October, before they actually have the data they want to begin cutting interest rates. John, do you agree?
No, I think they've been saying the same thing for months and months and months now. You know, they're waiting for inflation to heat up. They're waiting for, you know, is unemployment going to heat up? You know, what do the job numbers look like? And we continue to beat expectations on all of those. And I think that's why folks are like, what is he waiting for to cut rates? Now, they're obviously thinking about the potential impact of stagflation. You know, we had negative GDP growth the first quarter. If that continues, if unemployment ticks up, if inflation ticks up, but they keep saying that that's what they're watching for, and it's not happening. So I think that's where the president's coming in and saying, you know, you got to get off the ball here. We need to cut these rates.
Yeah. So, yeah. So John, the impact on decision making. So if we know, you know, if we expect that in the back half of 25, surely in the first half of 26, we're gonna see either some cuts or some are even saying like aggressive cutting. How does that change from a, you know, farmers making decisions on taking on debt and that cost of capital, and it kind of pushes off those decisions in the short term, does it not? I'm just going to wait until I can maybe get a better rate in like 9 months from now.
Well, I think that's obviously a factor. I mean, you know, thinking about keeping cash on hand is obviously another factor that I think farmers are thinking about. Look, the reality is, you know, the grain complex is under a lot of pressure. Input costs, USDA just released their new cost of production estimates for 2026. And we're looking at record input costs for soybeans, for a number of crops. And in aggregate, USDA is projecting for input costs to go up next year. And commodity prices aren't showing any signs of really rebounding. So I think folks are being smart about, you know, any new debt that they're taking on. They're thinking about keeping cash on hand. And I think there's no better place that you're seeing that than in the used equipment space. I mean, they're not going after the new shiny stuff. They're thinking about finding value in the used equipment market.
Yeah, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers had their latest flash report for May out last week, and the U.S. numbers are tough. Like it shows farmers have spoken with their checkbooks when it comes to new equipment sales, and that puts pressure on equipment dealers, the local communities, because there's a lot of work there from a rural economic standpoint. Jim, basically, is Powell just waiting for that unemployment number to start to eke higher in order for him to justify the cut, or is there some other signal that he's waiting for?
I think he wants to see a little pain. Again, he won't say it like that, but I think you're right. Where he's got what he always says he's data dependent, but he puts a lot of weight on not knowing what's going to happen to these tariffs. So what if Trump on July or close to July the 9th again extends the pause on the reciprocal tariffs? Then what do they do? Because then he would have to wait even longer. That's why some people think there won't be any cuts in the Fed funds rate this year if he would do that. So it's murky. I just think that they should have cut by now, and I think it's another Federal Reserve mistake.
Yeah, you know, I heard an analyst from, I think it was Morgan Stanley, that talked about how no cuts in 25. They think six or seven cuts in 2026, which... You know, that sounds like kind of where we were at this time last year. We were talking about all this aggressive cut. It just doesn't happen like sometimes as we expect. We've got more coming up here on AgriTalk with the Free For All, and we'll be back right after this.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that more than 96% of Wisconsin's dairy farms are family-owned, producing over 30 billion pounds of milk every year? That's nearly 14% of total U.S. milk production. The lure of Wisconsin's picturesque dairy farms, pastures, and rolling hills help make tourism one of the state's top industries. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by UtterTech. From waterproof bib overalls to cloth towel aprons, UtterTech products can make your life easier on the farm. Find out more. Visit UtterTechInc.com.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries. Join the Durand Sportsman's Club June 21st from 5 to 10 at the Durand Rod and Gun Club for the 38th Annual Sportsman's Club Fundraiser. Over $50,000 in prizes will be awarded, including three Polaris SXS ATVs. Midnight Special performs from 6 to 10. Tickets for the giveaways are available at area businesses and any Durand Sportsman's Club member. Visit the Durand Sportsman's Club's Facebook page for more information. It's the 38th Annual Durand Sportsman's Club Fundraiser, June 21st from 5 to 10 at the Durand Rod and Gun Club.
Big or small, in town or in the country, Prime Realty of Durand can help you find exactly what you need. I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty. When you visit us online at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com, you'll find properties all across Wisconsin, and you can contact us with questions. Have a property to sell? Listing with Prime Realty means that you're working with the area's number one home seller. Like Prime Realty guys on Facebook or visit us at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com. Prime Realty, making your dreams a reality.
Host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the game is on the line, Championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Sean Haney of Real Agriculture filling in here today for Chip Floor. We got a great free-for-all. Davis Michelson, Jim Wiesmeyer, and John Newton. Hey, John, I'm going to go over to you. The Senate budget reconciliation bill. President Trump putting serious pressure. I want this done by Independence Day. Are we on track, off track of that?
I mean, I think you're always on track until you're not on track, you know, on Capitol Hill. I mean, everybody's working towards trying to meet that deadline, but sometimes it does slip. And it slipped with the Democrats because they couldn't get Manchin and Sinema to agree with the Inflation Reduction Act. And Jim, I think it slipped until, I mean, that's ancient memory for me, but I feel like it slipped until August or September. Maybe even November until he got it over the finish line, but I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna get it done. I think they'll come together next week and move this ball forward, which is really important for farm country from a farm bill perspective. It puts more farm in the farm bill, and a tax perspective. A big, you know, continuing the Tax Cut and Jobs Act provisions forward is huge for agriculture.
Yeah, Jim, one of the pieces there that in that bill coming out of the House that, you know, it has political rhetoric to it in the sense that, you know, they're talking about taking away some of the incentives for things like solar, for example. There's a lot of farmers that are using solar as it applies to something like grazing. Is that just the fact that it's like, hey, that was IRA funding and like it's just politically it's a non-starter? Or why are some of those kind of things that could be working against some farmers, why are they in there?
Well, and Trump doesn't like the solar, you know, tax credits. So the Republicans can get covered that way. So I think that'll, they'll be pretty harsh on those solar credits. But I agree with John. I think with Thune in control here, he usually gets things done. But some of these murky issues, the SALT deduction, Medicaid issues, I'm talking amongst Republicans. And some other green energy credits, maybe solar, as you said, Sean, they have to be worked out. That's a lot of issues. But if there's anybody that can do it behind the scenes, it's Thune.
Yeah, he seems to be leaving a good mark, like a positive bipartisan reception to him, like just at 100,000 feet. He's definitely stayed out of some of that like partisan fodder for a lot of people. But that's just my observation.
Yeah, and. Yes, and if you don't get what you want, you can always reconcile the differences in a House Senate conference or whatever they want to call it once it gets through the Senate. It's through the House barely. Let's get it through the Senate, and then you work out your differences. And it could take until the August recess before you get that.
Yeah, it kind of shows that, you know, sometimes a fresh face is not a bad thing. To the process, fertilizer costs and diesel. This is one of those consequences of, you know, what's going on in the Middle East here right now. John, you alluded to it. When we look at the input cost for crop farming right now, it's you'd be able to put it in better perspective, but it's pretty staggering. It's got producers very concerned here in 25, and even if they're thinking ahead to the 26 crop.
I mean, absolutely. I think what makes people feel a little bit more comfortable about 25 is, you know, the ad hoc support that Congress provided at the end of 2024. You know, that's $30 billion that's going to flow into the farm economy through a top up on crop insurance and through direct payments that have already hit bank accounts. But, you know, looking into next year, that ad hoc support's not guaranteed to be there. Hopefully, this more farm in the farm bill is there, because that's also retroactive to the 2025 crop year. But again, input costs are projected to increase. Every single category is projected to be higher next year than this year. Fertilizer, one of them. The only category that is projected to be lower is interest expenses. But we know, because we just talked about it, how uncertain that is at this point in the game. So I think looking forward to 2026, you know, it's going to be a tight margin environment once again, unless we get some strong tailwinds in agriculture. The RVO announcement helps, you know, anything on 45Z helps, any trade deals help. I think all eyes are on all those things.
Yeah, and Jim, they're working hard on trade, just having a hard time closing some of these deals at this point.
Yeah, that's why I think you'll see you better see another extension to this reciprocal deadline, July the 9th. Yeah, they're finding out that you just don't announce 90 agreements in 90 days. I mean, we've only got one, and then that was temporary, United Kingdom. But I don't want to be too negative. They're close on a few, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, etc. So they just need a little more time. And I think at the end result, all those trade agreements probably will be better for the U.S. ag sector than it was before. That's the positive side of this equation. Just takes longer.
Yeah, and Jim, on the input side there, keep your eye, you know, in farm country, keep your eyes on diesel prices. That's another one of consequence here.
Well, the diesel impact of the Iran-Israel issue has gone up more than the energy gasoline prices. So absolutely, and that's a key component in that Mideast, in the Gulf section for diesel. So yeah, that's a high anxiety in farm country, and they got a little respite right now where they don't need it, but you can't book ahead like a lot of, I think, prudent farmers usually. So it's volatile, which again, to connect the dots, what John said earlier, it's a cash flow situation in the ag sector. That's why they're holding off on any large expenditures if they can. And that's the name of the game, which is why Congress has to improve the safety net. If they don't, we're in a world of hurt in the ag sector.
Yeah, and John, we got just a little bit left here, so quickly, but this is kind of a time period for cropping farmers where the quality of your balance sheet and, you know, of cash flow, cash is king. This is really a time where we see a bit of a separation on those good and bad balance sheets.
You know, I think everyone is you know, watching the weather, thinking about their cash flow. I mean, there's no shortage of issues that folks are facing right now. I mean, the old crop looks great, but you know what's coming on the new crop, and that's really dinging you a little bit. Just a lot of uncertainty, not even just in farm country, but in the entire economy as we laid out here.
Well put. Okay, hey, this has been a lot of fun here today on the Free For All. I really appreciate John Newton from Terrain joining us, as well as Jim Wiesmeyer, DC Policy Analyst. Make sure you tune in this afternoon. Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge will be filling in for Chip. Monday, of course,
anyone
Machinery
choose
Pete.
To make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
When the game is on the line, Championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A federal judge says he is granting Mahmoud Khalil's release. Judge Michael Farbiars indicated he will issue an order shortly, requiring that Khalil be released by a certain time today.